fisherman says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, my woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive.
Yes.
Country folks can survive.
Us country boys can survive, along with you country gals out there. And I'll tell you what, all of us country folk were surviving mighty fine as Donald Trump dropped in on East Palestine, Ohio yesterday. Wow. What a well, I'll read you a little bit about it. And it's just a home run, grand slam home run by Donald Trump yesterday in East Palestine. Thinking of Palestine, Ohio. And, well, hey, I'm James Kelso. This is the Trump Phenomenon Radio Show. It is February 23rd, 2023. And the, another blistering heat wave here in North Dakota. It's -6 degrees on my front porch. On the south end of the porch, it's -6, and on the north end, that thermometer says -6. I love these thermometers you can put out in your porch, and they wirelessly communicate with your weather station inside your house. Pretty cool. And let's see, well, you can call in tonight's show, and if you're so inclined, it's 512-248-8252. Grand slam home run, you say, Kelso? Well, how so? Well, what Donald Trump did is he packed all his people into his beautiful Trump airplane, which is as presidential as the Air Force One itself. And I don't know where he landed. I'm sure there's no runway at East Palestine that can handle that plane. So I didn't look on the map to see what the nearest big runway would be. And it matters. At one Trump rally I attended with my kids, he couldn't land on a certain runway, and so we had to greet him at another runway, another airport, because his plane creates so much pressure on the concrete that it has to be quite a few feet thick. Anyway, that would be the case to at anything at East Palestine. But his motorcade rolled into the town. The people went wild. They loved it. And let's see, what was the salient fact about this visit? It was the heart of the people. And what people are we talking about? This is Trump country. These were Trump people. They were real Americans. And in real flyover country, meeting with their real, the man with a huge heart, which is what America's learning about Donald Trump. With this kind of a event. And so Charlie Kirk was proposing it today on his show. Hey, I think we've found Trump 2.0. This is the kind of meeting that shows Donald Trump's character and who he is, and it communicates with red-blooded America. So Charlie Kirk was making an excellent suggestion, which is, Mr. President, hold more of these events. Have your staff creatively come up with opportunities to actually just work the crowd, to talk to the people, talk to them in person. And what Kirk realized, and what anybody looking at it can realize, is that Donald Trump is a magnificent improviser. He is brilliant in simply direct personal communication with anybody. If it's the lady at the McDonald's that he was talking with in East Palestine, it was wonderful. As he stood there in this little dinky McDonald's, and he ordered, hamburgers for all the firemen, for all the police, and for everybody crowding into this little restaurant. And you could see President Trump's security team, having a continuous heart attack. See? Because it's just extemporaneous, improvisational. It's Donald Trump working the room as no one else can do it. So what Charlie Kirk was suggesting is that at least do more such events. Now, how successful was this event? Is it just me enthusing about it? No. Let's go to the president's latest message to you, his public, on truthsocial.com. And here's what he says. He put this up 1 hour ago. Let me make sure it's the most recent post. Let me just hit the refresh button here for a second. And I'm starting to get the hang of how to work Truth Social. Here it is. Yes. This is the post. All in huge caps. And this is new. Get used to this. President Trump likes to do everything huge, including his posts, which are in big caps and bold-faced. Viewership report is the title of this. Viewership report. President Trump's February 22nd visit to East Palestine, Ohio. Total people that saw coverage, social plus traditional. Okay, now are you ready for the number? I'm telling you, this was a Grand Slam home run. Babe Ruth at the plate, pointing his bat at the center field bleachers, daring the pitcher to throw the ball in his direction. And then the crack of the bat, and it's gone. Total people that saw coverage, social plus traditional, and I'm going to give you the number here, 178,000? That would be a big crowd. No. 178 million. And this was not the selection of a pope. This was not the marriage of a king or queen of England. This was Donald Trump visiting the McDonald's in East Palestine and talking with moms and dads with their little kids on their shoulders. 178 million people saw that. And hey, and this is the next day. This has gone viral. Okay, continuing the post. Total social media users that saw coverage, 144 million. So social media, like Truth Social, Facebook and Twitter and so on, 144 million. And then the total traditional viewers that saw the coverage, this would be on your lamestream media, like MSNBC and CNN and Fox, 34 million. So those two together, 144 plus 34 is 178 million. Then this post continues. This report searched for the term East Palestine plus Trump. What you will see is, while traditional outlets like Fox News are woefully derelict in their reporting with what you did, The word is still getting out there in a big way. Specifically, when the announcement was made last week, there was a bump of coverage reaching about 2 million on social channels and 10 million on other channels. However, your numbers this Wednesday were off the charts. This is this poster talking to the president, with incredible reach, 144 million on social and 34 million in other channels. The visit meant a lot for the people of East Palestine and the surrounding communities, and it meant a lot for all real Americans. The trip gave them, I added that, the trip gave them hope and raised the awareness needed to combat the incompetence of the Biden administration. As you will see, a sharp spike in the positive sentiments as well. So this is Donald Trump doing it as no one else can. And I mean, he's already, I mean, he just, burning rubber and kicking sand into Ron DeSantis' face here on the drag strip. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And, you know, and it was just, you know, the president said, I remember hearing Don Jr. say the president ought to go to East Palestine. It might be Don Jr. who suggested it to his dad. But in any event, Donald Trump grabbed the opportunity before anybody, no visit from anybody, any senior official, nothing from the Biden calamity. So it doesn't matter. Buttigieg, I think he went there today. I haven't looked at the reporting yet. I'll bet you I will bet you. I haven't seen any coverage of this at all. I'll bet you a dollar to a donut somebody booed the butt judge in East Palestine. And then Biden didn't visit. He telephoned East Palestine from Poland. And what was he doing in Poland? Well, aside from falling on his face on the airplane stairs again, he was giving away including the people of East Palestine, giving away your billions of dollars to the criminal regime in Kiev. The criminal Zelensky, the former nightclub, naked, playing the piano with his rod, Zelensky. And who, giving away your billions of dollars. What's he doing? What is he doing there? It's you can't make this stuff up. It's mind-boggling. Nothing for the people of East Palestine. Nothing for our own border. Billions for an artificial border in Ukraine. This is an obviously very defective border. And Europe is full, rife, the history of Europe, with people being on the wrong side of an artificially created border, and then that having to be sorted out, sometimes by fighting, sometimes by plebiscite, sometimes by protest. But people, I mean, you could list 100, 200, 300 ethnic disagreements within the small area of Europe, with people with different languages, ethnicities, histories, disagreeing over who should be on which side of a line. And that's all that's going on in Ukraine. The people at the east end of what is called Ukraine, an artificially concocted country, there are Ukrainians in Ukraine, and they can say Slava Ukraina all they want, but this artificially created country also contains millions of Poles who are not Ukrainians, and they were included in Ukraine because of the action of politicians severing part of Poland off and putting it in Ukraine. There are Hungarians who belong in Hungary, but nope, they're in Ukraine. They're not Ukrainians. And likewise, that's on the west side of Ukraine. On the east side, you have all kinds of Russians, millions of them, who they're not Ukrainians. They don't speak Ukrainian. Their love is not for Ukraine, it's for Russia. And Vladimir Putin was fine with them being in Ukraine until the Ukrainians got so full of them, some Ukrainians, not all of them, especially the Nazis in Ukraine, got so full of themselves that they decided they were going to oppress the Russians, murder the Russians, shell the Russians, destroy them. And Vladimir Putin put up with that from 2014 when our CIA overthrew the Russian president of Ukraine, overthrew him by force, installed the government that Zelensky now heads, installed by the CIA. And then from that moment forward, 2014 to the present, the Ukrainian fanatics went wild trying to destroy the Russianness, the Russian people of Eastern Ukraine. Vladimir Putin put up with it for 8 years. He was getting all kinds of people saying, come on, Vladimir, let's go. Let's defend our people, millions of them, right across our border. They're being abused. They're being beaten and killed and destroyed by these Ukrainian crazies. And Vladimir Putin in the year 2022 said, okay, we've had enough, let's go. And that's what we're at 1 year. 1 year I think it's about, in a day or two, it's about exactly 1 year. So, here's a post by the president today at Truth Social. 2 hours ago, he writes this. I didn't know this. Apparently, when Biden was in Ukraine, he took a train, a 20-hour train, to get into Kiev. Didn't dare get on a plane to fly into Kiev. Chicken. Here's what the president writes. The sirens, apparently while he's speaking in Kiev, sirens went off during his speech. And I guess the impression is, I am a brave. I'm risking my life. We're under attack here in Kiev. It's like Hillary Clinton when she said she landed under fire. They were shooting at her helicopter as she landed somewhere in Libya or somewhere. It was all BS, all a lie. Well, once again, all a lie. The president writes this, quote, "The sirens that went off in Ukraine during Biden's speech were staged. Fake. Phony. He knew it, and so did everyone else. Scam." Exclamation mark. Beautiful. Look at that, Joe Biden strikes out on a bunt attempt. That's a good one, isn't it? A guy standing at the plate, and he misses the ball and strikes out on a bunt attempt. All right, let's look at another one here that the president just put up. Here's one. He's taking a shot at Christopher Wray and the FBI, as he does on a daily basis. This is a story put up today. FBI keeps getting burned badly by reliance on liberal sources. So apparently Christopher Wray has screwed up again. And of course, he knows, as do all the others on the seventh floor of the FBI building on Pennsylvania. They all know that they have, if Donald Trump is reelected, and this is why they're so frantic to, among other reasons, they're so frantic to stop Trump. Their jobs are over. We'll be right back after this break. Make a Ford and a Chevy. It'll still last 10 years like the shoe. Cause the best of the free life is still yet to come. The good times ain't over for good.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
There's a hole in this country where its heart used to be. And no glory is divided on fire in the street. They say building back better make America great. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine.
Welcome back, folks. And there's a great article on the American Thinker today that was I don't have time to get beyond truthsocial.com. But I get plenty of American Thinker articles because Donald Trump, he's more of a man than I am. He's got more than 24 hours in a day, and he reads all these different sites. So he links to American Thinker a lot. Here's a great one on the populist, the folk hero, the people's hero that Donald Trump is. Here's an article entitled, President Trump is the hero of many a Capra film, referring to Frank Capra. Now, I've seen one of these films, I think. And this is by David Zuckerman. And he says, D.C. Larson recently pointed out in an American Thinker publication that Donald J. Trump is a real-life John Doe. Maybe that's where the term John Doe came from. The populist hero from one of Frank Capra's four great populist movies. Meet John Doe is the title, from 1941. Larson is, of course, correct in comparing Mr. Trump to John Doe. I would go further, as I see indicia of other Capra populist heroes in the former president as well. Longfellow Deeds in Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, 1936. Jefferson Smith in Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, 1939. And George Bailey in It's a Wonderful Life, 1946. Which is the year, by the way, Donald Trump was born, in Queens, New York. In every one of these wonderful populist movies, I'm going to go back and check them out, the hero finds himself targeted for destruction by a villainous character representing the establishment, or, if you will, deep state. So we have D.B. Norton in John Doe. We have Attorney Cedar in Deeds, Senator Payne and Mr. Smith, and Henry Potter in A Wonderful Life. That Donald Trump was a populist president, I have no doubt. His inaugural address could have been a speech in a Frank Capra movie. Consider merely the third and fourth paragraphs of that outstanding oration, evocative of the spirit of Madison's populist credo in Federalist Paper number 57. So here's what the president said. This was in his inaugural address. Today's ceremony has very special meaning because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the people. That's it. Bingo. For too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government, while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Can you imagine? This is wonderful. And I've forgotten. You know, I remember it was a wonderful inaugural address, but I don't have that good a memory that I can remember the verbiage. But listen to this. This is the man coming in, being sworn in on January 20th, 2017. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land. Think East Palestine. I'm stuck in Palatine. In East Palestine, Ohio. That all changes starting right here and right now. Because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you. It belongs to everyone gathered here today and everyone watching all across America. You can hear Jimmy Stewart saying that. Can you not? This is your day. This is your celebration. And this, the United States of America, is your country. Oh, wow. And, you know, think of it. The man is, by leaps and bounds, more seasoned now than he was then. Wow. Take a little break here and come right back. Stay tuned.
Through the dust and the smoke of this man-made hell walked a giant of a man that the miners knew well, grabbed a sagging timber and gave out with a groan, and like a giant oak tree just stood there alone, Big John.
Big John.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. Fuck you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Hey, we're back, folks. And I'm going to continue reading here. This article in a great publication, American Thinker. All of you out there, except you folks overseas, are American thinkers. And so I just looked up. I wasn't familiar with David Zuckerman, Zuckerman. So I just looked him up on his bio on the website, or his archive. I can't even count the articles. There are hundreds and hundreds of articles. But just to give you the flavor of the man, here are titles. When a leftist grand jury forewoman goes giddy at the thought of arresting Donald Trump. This is this crazy witch lady named Kohrs, K-O-H-R, I think. Then he says, you can just tell from his titles. He says, McCarthy still doesn't get it about Ashley Babbitt. Beautiful, beautiful. I know that's going to be a good article. The anti-Trump New York Times can't stand the truth. I'm going to like that article. Senate Republicans, time to ditch Mitch. And then Anyway, a whole bunch of great articles. So let's go back to this article that I was just reading. And here it is right here. The title is President Trump is the Hero of Many a Capra Film. And he says, this is Zuckerman writing, the media, on behalf of the deep state, gave this populist declaration back of the hand treatment, denouncing it as, quote, dark, unquote, among other snarky comments. Here is Dan Baltz at the Washington Post. Quote, Trump did not attack government. Instead, he attacked the establishment, those who he said had taken advantage of their power in government at the expense of the people, unquote. This sentence amounts to a paraphrase of the opening line of Federalist number 57, quote, an aggrandizing class aiming at an ambitious sacrifice of the many to the aggrandizement of the few, unquote. But more than just the Post, it seems as though the entire Trump resistance in the media colluded and conspired to label the populist speech as, quote, dark, unquote. So he gives, Zuckerman gives some examples, headlines. And you notice that he left the corrupt media. They all collude. They all come up with the same line, the same narrative, the same talking points every day. They use the very same words. Gee, it's just a coincidence, right? The New York Times, after the president's inaugural address, said it was a dark rhetorical cloud over Washington. Vanity Fair called it Trump's dark, raw inauguration speech, which shocks Washington. Remember, this is the same Vanity Fair, which I don't think they ever put the stunningly beautiful Melania Trump on their cover. What? And they put all kinds of really ugly people on their cover. But Melania Trump, one of the top beauties in the world, an actual fashion model. For some reason, they couldn't find a way to put her on the cover. The New Yorker called it a dark inaugural. USA Today said Trump's short, dark, and defiant inaugural. The Washington Post came up with, in his dark America First inaugural speech. And then New York Magazine, funny, same word, huh? Dark? And by the way, was there anything dark about what we just read, the first two paragraphs of his inaugural address? I call that coruscating brilliance, blinding white-hot heat and sunshine. Dark? Are we? Yes, they are. These evil people are the inversion of goodness. What seems light to you, to them, is darkness, utter darkness to them. New York Magazine said Trump's dark, weird inaugural campaign speech. Then Zuckerman writes, from day one of the Trump presidency, it was the populist leader versus the deep state. The deep state enacted a scorched earth policy, just as the anti-populists of the four Capra films were out to utterly destroy the community activist John Doe, the socially minded Deeds, Longfellow Deeds, the idealist Senator Jefferson Smith, and the pro-people small businessman George Bailey. The Trump haters, like the cabal of corporate leaders in John Doe, committed to raising as in with a Z, R-A-Z-ing, the little guy. We saw a crooked lawyer in Deeds seek to remove the hero as mentally ill. Remember the calls for Trump's removal via the 25th Amendment? Remember that? Oh, he's mentally ill. These are the guys that love Joe Biden. Donald Trump is mentally ill? Corrupt senators in Mr. Smith try to crush the patriotic icon by their tight control of the media. A vile and greedy banker who is the very personification of evil embezzles money from Bailey's small business to lead to an indictment and jail time for the hardworking American. each of the elements separately employed to destroy the populist heroes of Cape Capra's quartet, effectively called for a, quote, communion of interests and sympathy of sentiments, unquote, to thoroughly destroy Trump and his kind. Spoiler alert. The good guys won. No, yes, the good guys won. Moral of the Capra Quartet. The MAGA kind must ignore the villainous demonizing from the foes of populism, be aware of the media's censorship, and remain steadfast in support of the Capra-esque MAGA leaders. And I simplify that to leader. I can't think of too many in Trump's class. That's a good little article right there. And let's go back to the president here. And I found that because the president, the best reporter, news reporter we have, linked me to it, to the American Thinker. Let's find another. He has a post about the job cuts happening at News Corporation. That's the outfit of the pathetic Rupert Murdoch and his two sons, James and Laughlin, who are apparently they are closet rhinos. And even though Fox has some heroes like Tucker Carlson on it, has some an ever-diminishing cadre of such great people, which has brought billions of dollars of income to James, Laughlin, and Rupert, they really don't like Tucker Carlson, and they certainly don't like Donald Trump. And Donald Trump has noticed this, and he is eviscerating Rupert Murdoch and Fox at every turn. The president's got one. Why Russiagate was the media's Vietnam. That's a link to The Spectator. And let's just hit refresh here and see if the president has sent in. No, he hasn't. He hasn't sent in a new message in the while we were reading. The report here is this yesterday was a great day in America. And I think the president is going to see the pattern, see the shape of that event in East Palestine and replicate it in all sorts of different events that he will stage in the next 2 years. Of course, he's promised that the big mass rallies will return, and we don't want to give up on those. We don't want to omit those great big mass rallies. But what Charlie Kirk was saying is that, look at this. He's reached 147 million people in one day by just going to the East Palestine hole-in-the-wall McDonald's. And people are loving it. It's communicating immediately and directly. So we'll see more of that in addition to the big rallies. And he's also noticing that Donald Trump is great just playing by ear. He doesn't actually need a teleprompter presentation. He's best, and we noticed this in his great big rallies, the juiciest moments were when he, there would be times in the rally where he go, his teleprompters to the left and the right would be waving around in the wind, you know, whipping wind, his hair is blowing everywhere, his hat blows off his head, inclement weather, and he's trying to read the teleprompter, and he goes, oh, to hell with that. He says, forget the speech. And he just starts extemporizing. And then the speech was great. But when he starts to extemporize, it becomes stupendous. And so we've seen this over and over again. And he's never, think about it. In all these hundreds of speeches over how many years now, since 2015, we're looking at We're in our ninth year. Are you kidding? We're all growing old together. We're in our ninth year. Has he ever bombed? He's never bombed. He's never been at a loss for words or never lost his audience. Not a dud in the whole performance. 9 years. Talk about a winner. And I like the way John Nolte at Breitbart, he has a good image here. Biden and Buttigieg fumble. Trump runs it in for a TD. Biden and Buttigieg. Biden hands the ball to his fullback, little Buttigieg. He fumbles the ball. Donald Trump picks it up and runs it in for the TD. And that's exactly what happened. Let's go to a caller here in Donald Trump's home state, New York. Frank, you're on the air.
Oh, yes, thank you. I can't remember the date, but I saw a documentary about the Bank of North Dakota, and it's how fair and progressive its bank procedures were. Do you remember what the name of it was, or why the bank was so policy oriented?
Well, I live within sight of the North Dakota Mill, which was financed by the Bank of North Dakota. You know, I'm here in North Dakota, so yes,
mm-hmm. Yes,
and
yes.
Here in North Dakota, that bank, I believe, correct me anybody who might know better than I do, grew out of the populist farmer movement when. Farmers, you know, just scratching for a living. They got tired of the big banks squeezing the farmers who rely on credit to, finance each. You know, why farmers do it year after year and they come back and they face another winter and they face the dust and they just do it again. These are tough people. Well, they got tired of being abused. So they formed their own bank here in North Dakota, the Bank of North Dakota, and it is, you're right. It's a wonderful bank. It helps people at the lowest possible interest rates and sometimes without interest, and it's a people's bank. It's very wonderful. It's a good model. It should exist all across the country. Populist local banks, not these giant, Wall Street banks. Go ahead.
Well, do you have a large number of, number of banks that do not follow that model?
Oh, we have all the usual, major banks in America are here in North Dakota. But we also have, again, I think inspired by the Bank of North Dakota, we in North Dakota, I'm sure it's happens in many other places, especially in red states. We have lots of smaller banks that are community oriented and, take care of the local people and are very excellent, really help people buy a house or start a business. So, yeah, this is Trump country here. And, I was born in New York, Frank. My parents were Nebraskans while my dad was at school at Pratt Institute in Brooklyn. On the GI Bill after the war, World War II. I was born in 1948. Here in the red states like Nebraska and North Dakota and so on, you can see it's a whole swath of red states down the middle of America. This really is Trump country. And then we've got on the left and right coasts, we've got of this entire kind of media power establishment that hates Donald Trump. And, ironically, Donald Trump, rose from the ashes like a phoenix in New York, in Queens. You know, Donald Trump, the man who's going to save America with this red state, red-blooded Americanism, he's from your area there, Frank. And I love that. I love the irony of that. And, well, of course, New York, you know, New York, you know, people think of New York as being a horrible place, New York City especially. And it was not that way. There was a New York that was wonderful, that was conservative, that was patriotic. But that was then and this is now. Stay with me, Frank. We'll go through a break here. We'll be right back, folks.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Extendivite really works. Kate, great for bodybuilding or endurance athletes. I can't say enough about Extendivite. It brings more oxygen to your muscles while working out. I never bought this product for heart health, but to improve circulation, and I am not at all disappointed. I noticed an immediate boost in my gym performance, but I thought I would wait to review in case it was a placebo effect. It definitely was not. This is the most powerful supplement I have ever taken in 30 years of bodybuilding. I have taken everything. Extendivite outperforms them all. The ability to squeeze just one more rep or add just a few more pounds to the barbell depends on your ability to carry oxygen where it counts, deep inside your muscle tissues. The added benefits of heart and liver health I consider a bonus. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Xtendovite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with
I wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis, Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work, still would.
Welcome back, folks. We only got minutes left in our program tonight. Frank is with us from the great state of New York. I've got to have some loyalty to it. I was born in Manhattan, and an accident, well, maybe not an accident, by my young parents, Nebraska parents there in the big Apple. Frank, I mentioned that New York was once just a great, tremendous, patriotic place. I don't know, maybe he's the top hero for me in American history, is Charles A. Lindbergh. Even in my impoverished state, I actually have signatures, actual signatures of Charles Lindbergh in his books autographed that I managed to acquire by miraculous shopping. But he took off from Roosevelt Field when he was 25 years old in 1927. The Spirit of St. Louis, piloted by Charles Lindbergh, took off from Roosevelt Field, right there near you, mm-hmm. Frank, in Long Island. I don't know if it still exists as an airport,
yes,
or a runway.
There.
It's still there?
Yes.
Well, yeah, Lindbergh took off on the grass, barely clearing the power lines, with his plane loaded with gasoline, aviation fuel, but it was named Roosevelt. Donald Trump is very much like Theodore Roosevelt, but the airfield's not named after Theodore Roosevelt. It's named after his son, Quentin. And this connects with Donald Trump, the peace president. Theodore Roosevelt very mistakenly urged his son, his favorite son, Quentin, to fly a plane in World War I. And Quentin tragically was shot down, died in a plunging plane there. And it crushed Theodore Roosevelt. He lived for his son. And it was never the same after the death of his son, Quentin. And that field from which Charles Lindbergh, who also with his father was a tremendous peace advocate. Charles Lindbergh Sr., his father fought valiantly to keep us out of World War I, fought against the Federal Bank, the Federal Reserve, and the income tax in 1913. And his son, Charles A. Lindbergh, like the father, he fought against us, the stupidity of entering into World War II. And he is a tremendous... There's a line of peace from here, from Lindbergh, who was the head of the America First movement. Donald Trump, his campaign, his motto is America First. Folks, it's not a coincidence. There's a tremendous relationship between Charles Lindbergh and Donald Trump. Well, Frank, you can be proud of that New York history.
Well, okay, I hear the music, but I wanted to find out a little more about the BND, as it's called.
Yes, you've always got a rain check. You can call in tomorrow night. We'll meet up again here in the Trump Clubhouse, folks. So long for now.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.